So we must give God permission. And I'm going to stress that point one more time. We must give him permission to be able to act, to be able to act in our lives for our benefit. He's not going to push his way in. He's not going to bulldoze his way in. He's not going to bully his way in. He's asking for you to come in. Kind of tight on my neck, getting kind of fat. And I need to loosen my tie up a little bit. I need to go on a diet or something. I don't know what. One more time. One more time, Jack. One more time. God is good. That's a little bit better right there. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, we're going to finish up. Move that Kleenex box out the way. I'm going to ban you from sitting over there. Amen, amen. We're going to get right into the word because I want to try to finish up today. Have a couple of announcements afterwards, so I want to make sure I have time to share my announcements with you as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, amen. We're still in Psalm 27. So go ahead and go to Psalm 27. No need to stand after I read because we've already read into your hearing quite a few times. Amen? Amen. Psalm 27. Y'all, we're going to finish today. Yes, we're going to finish today. If you roll over with me to, if you're not there yet, you should be there because I gave you enough time while I was praying for you to search the scriptures. Amen. And Psalms is not a hard book to find, especially if you've been hanging out with us for a while. It should just open up to Psalms now by now. But Psalm 27, we were talking about how to overcome fear. And, you know, I want to just jump right into it because I want us to finish up these last couple of points that I want to share with you as it relates to how we overcome fear. We talked about, you know, what fear was. We talked about how fear itself is something that we can feel, but it's also based off of a spirit of fear that also lingers. And when we talk about how God gave us the spirit of power and, you know, of power and courage, you know, as opposed to the spirit of fear. And so we talked about fear being, you know, being a spirit. But I also shared to you that many times you have to understand that faith and fear, they literally tussle and are, and they actually fight against each other at who's going to win your heart for the day. Sometimes we allow fear to win, but sometimes we allow faith to win. It is my intention that the more that I share with you, the more you're going to allow faith to win over fear. Amen? You know, we talk about how fear is false evidence appearing real. We talked about that. You know, understanding that many times we fear things, but what it is false evidence appearing real. We're scared of what's really not there. Amen. Instead of having faith in the very one who is there. Amen. So over the last few weeks, we try to get into the message about how we must allow Yahweh to be able to do some things in order for us to overcome fear. One of the things I shared earlier, that we must allow Yahweh to be our supreme shelter. I talked about how we must also allow Yahweh to be our sovereign satisfaction. We spent time. If you don't know, go back in to YouTube, and I think it's on YouTube, some of the messages. We also must allow Yahweh to be our sustaining strength, as we shared on the other day, last week, and then how we must allow Yahweh to be a single source in our life. We must allow him, we must give him permission in order to do these things. We must give God permission. And I'm going to stress that point one more time. We must give him permission to be able to act, to be able to act in our lives for our benefit. He's not going to push his way in. He's not going to bulldoze his way in. He's not going to bully his way in. He's asking for you to come in. Got kind of tight on my neck, getting kind of fat. And I need to loosen my tie up a little bit. I need to go on a diet or something. I don't know. And understanding that God, he's going to wait for us to invite him in. Y'all, we must invite him in. We must then give him permission to be able to come walk with us. Amen? And so he is our single source. You know, he is our sustaining strength. He is our sovereign satisfaction. He is our supreme shelter. Those are the first four points. I'm going to finish up with these last couple of points over this message out of Psalm 27. So if you're in your Bible in Psalm 27, let's look at verses 10 through 13. In verses 10 through 13, it says this: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As they were ministering this morning, you know, there's many reasons why we want to lose heart right now in the land of the living. There's many reasons why we want to just throw our hands up and just give up by what's happening around us. There's many reasons. But he says, I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness, you know, of the Lord in the land of the living. And so I want to talk, you know, I want to finish up, you know, with our how do we deal with, you know, fear, and how do we overcome fear, by the fifth thing I want to share with you after we have made him our supreme shelter, sovereign satisfaction, sustaining strength, and single source, is we must make him our superior salvation. Okay, I know you didn't get that, so I'm gonna kind of walk through this if y'all don't mind on today. Is that okay? So I'm kind of walking through this thing in our superior salvation. In other words, see, that word salvation or deliverance, it means to be saved from something, you know. And so therefore, you know, he is our superior. In other words, he is our utmost. In other words, we must depend on him to be our salvation, because everything else beneath him is not what we call salvation. This superior salvation is salvation not only to walk this earth, but also salvation to be able to walk, you know, in the heavenly realm, and to walk, you know, in eternity with him, you know, forever. Amen. So that's superior salvation. But that superior salvation also allows us to be able to live down here. Okay, I know you didn't get that. So let's look at this. Verse 10, it says, so when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. First thing to understand, he says, not if. It's when. Yeah. See, while we're walking this earth, people are going to disappoint us. Yeah. They're going to forsake us. We're not going to agree all the time. In that disagreement, the expectations are going to be, you know, are crushed. And so therefore it says, when they forsake me, not since that they're gonna run away, you know, and leave me and abandon me, but when they forsake me, when I'm crushed by expectations, when I feel forsaken from them, when I don't get my way, when they forsake me. See, and that's what I mean by superior salvation, because God will never forsake you and I. He says, when they forsake me, he says, then the Lord, Yahweh, will take care of me. He says, then, after the wind. So the wind's going to happen, but the good thing about when the wind happens, the then corresponds to the wind. Y'all see that? So when you walk through life, your wind is going to happen. But when your wind, W-H-E-N, happens, then your then should then correspond to your win. And your then is, I'm going to make sure that the Lord going to take me up. Our situation is reversed. See, we want, it's almost as though when the Lord forsake me, then I'm going to go to other folk. But see, and that's how we go. That's how we live life. Y'all don't believe me. Watch this. We live life that when we have a problem, Minister Mo, what happens is we go to our friends and get answer and encouragement from our friends and from our family. Well, but Ty, when our family and friends can't find the answer, when we can't find the answer in the bottle, when we can't find the answer, you know, in a hit, when we can't find the answer in a relationship, bro, now we go. See, that's the then and the when flipped. David says, when they forsake me, I'm going to anticipate the being forsaken. And because I'm going to anticipate being forsaken, I'm not going to anticipate being forsaken by God. Okay. All right. So maybe y'all friends and family never do that. So when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. See, what we have to understand here in our superior salvation, you know, we have to learn that we must follow his plan. Okay. He says, teach me your way, O Lord. Y'all wake up. Smooth got a few more hours, so y'all wake up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth or in a plain path because of my, teach me your way. So in other words, we must follow his plan, not your plan. We got a whole lot of plans. And usually when we follow our plans, Sister Raquel, our plans usually burn up or run us into a brick wall, Brother Johnny, you know. He said, but teach me your way. We must follow his plan. Because, see, his plan is what really brings security to you and I. Because what happens is, if we're following his plan, he's not going to let nothing happen to us while we are following his plan, his way. Because what happens is, if we're following his plan, his way, the word says that when my word goes out, it's going to accomplish what I sent it to accomplish. Ain't nothing going to happen to it until they accomplish everything that I tell it to. So when he sends his word out to you to walk and to do and walk in his plan and to walk in his way, when you walk obediently, I don't care what comes up against you or who comes up against you. If you walk and follow his plan based off of his word, then nothing going to happen to you. And if it does happen to you, it's not going to stop you. It's not going to kill you because his word has got to fulfill itself in you. So you must follow his plan. That's superior salvation. When you follow his plan. But not only does it secure you, it also saves you. Because his plan is salvation. He saved you unto good works. So when you got saved, what he says is, I didn't want you to sit down on your salvation. I needed to save you because I needed some works done through you so that folks can see me when you do my work through you. And so so that superior salvation is that he saves us in order for us to go to work for him. But when we go to work for him following his plan, then his plan saves and it secures us. But here's the good part. When his plan saves and secures us, it also sustains us. What happened is his plan going to sustain you. Now, why? Because he's got to carry out what he said he's going to do. He says, I'm big enough. I'm God enough. See, that's why I don't spend time trying to defend God. You know why I don't spend time trying to defend God? Because God is big enough to defend himself. His word is powerful enough to override your word. All my job to do, Brother Merle, is this. Believe his word. Walk in his word. Live his word. I don't care who comes at me outside of his word. God, I don't have to argue God's word. I'm not going to argue his word. Because God is a big God. And God can take care of himself. The term El Elyon, most supreme, that means something. He said that he's so big that can't nothing go over him. Most sovereign God. So follow me with this. So superior salvation says, you know, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. So we must follow his plan, which saves, secures, and sustains us. But I was looking at some words here, in here. The word teach, look at this. Look what the word teach says. Remember I told you I'm not good at my Hebrew, but so y'all kind of, you know, help me out with this thing. But this word teach in the Hebrew, it gives you the picture of to cast or to shoot out. And matter of fact, it also gives you a picture of to pour into. Y'all missed that. See, y'all don't know. I'm just saying. To teach means to pour into me. So he says, teach me your way, O Lord. In other words, pour into me your way, O Lord. Well, maybe I didn't get that. The other part of that word is this. It means to give a picture of what it called an intentional shooting of an arrow in a certain direction. It means to shoot an arrow. Okay, y'all didn't get that. So he says, teach me your way, O Lord. In other words, shoot your way into me, O Lord. Straight as an arrow. Y'all missed that thing. Okay, you didn't get that one. The other part of the definition is to establish a foundation. Okay, I'm going to talk to you, brother. I mean, because they're not getting it. He says, establish a foundation in me, O Lord. So it means pour into me, shoot to me. It means establish a foundation in me. What is he saying? Lord, I'm depending totally on you. He says, so teach me your way. Now, that term way is interesting because it means teach me your journey. But not just your journey, but what is your journey for me? Teach me your journey. I need to be on the journey that you want me on. In other words, it means to walk alongside. It means to take a journey. It means, so teach me your journey. Teach me to journey. Now, because I was looking at this, it only happened it only happens once or twice in the word, but this is interesting. In the book of Proverbs, this very same word means to court. I mean, it didn't happen all through the Bible, but I just thought it was interesting that they use this word a couple of times to say court. Young folk don't know what it means to court. It means to date, to get together, to have a relationship that's leading to something. The old folks say, who you coat now? And so I thought, even though it only happens once or twice, I thought it was interesting that they even used that word because of the meaning of the word, the root word, it means to walk and to have a journey. So, and relationally, it pulls that relationship in. You're walking along the pathway and the journey with him. Teach me your way. Teach me your journey for me. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. And knocking my head up against a brick wall. Teach me your way, oh God. I'm sorry, not oh God, oh Lord. Gotta catch that. But then he says, and lead me in a smooth path. Now see, lead me in a smooth path. I gotta take that in kind of a couple of bites because that term lead means just simply to guide, So I mean, it's just to guide. But it gives us a picture of one leading troops. They didn't get that, Sister Addie. It wasn't just leading. Well, I'm sorry. am I only veteran in here? To know that as a soldier, when you fall in line, you fall in line and you are led by, for instance, if it's a platoon, you're led by your platoon sergeant. So what happens is your platoon sergeant calls you to attention, you come to attention, and he says it's forward march, you march. You don't ask him where you're going. Y'all ain't see that. See, as a soldier, you don't ask him where you're going. When he say forward, we don't say, where are we going? And the way they do the command, as a matter of fact, they give the command to the point where you can't even respond. Because he says, forward, march, you got to go. There is no time for response to the command. He's assuming that you're going to do what he say and go where he, you're missing this, and go where he tells you to go. This term lead means, it means to be able to lead truth, because if you are a soldier, when your commander tells you to go somewhere, when your commander leads you to a point, you're going to go because your commander has said to go. Okay, so y'all gonna make me have to do my other point next week because y'all don't look like y'all, you know. So he says, so teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Lead me, Father. And that term smooth or plain, that's a different term, because that term, it really means to lead me in a pathway of justice, of honesty, of integrity. That's what plain means. It means a way of justice, honesty, and integrity. And not justice by the world's standard, but justice by God's standard. Now, let me read a little bit here. It says, it's the decision of a judge, okay? They should be one that are made according to the truth, capital T, and without partiality, okay? So the essential meaning is an unswerving adherence to the truth of God. See, that's justice. When you are able to adhere to the truth of God and do righteously to the people, that's justice. when you're able to adhere to the truth of Yahweh, not to the truth of people, but what does the truth of God say? As a man or woman of God, you must stand on the truth of God, no matter who stands with you or don't stand with you. You do know that God stands with you. And justice is according to how God dictates it first, not the law first, but how God dictates first. I'm trying to get through this. And so he says, and lead me in a just path, in a path of integrity, in a path of honesty. But then he says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. Okay? And so all he's simply saying is this: hey, at the end of the day, if you teach me these ways, he says, don't deliver me to the will of my father. There's an adversaries, he says, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such breathe out violence, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So understand, he said that if you are my superior salvation, if I follow your plan, O Lord, is going to secure, save, and sustain me. But then lastly, and I got to get to my next point, a part of it is his plan is also going to fulfill, is so that you fulfill your potential. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, when I look at the superior salvation, it is about following his plan, but it's also y'all about fulfilling his potential. And I looked at, and I was thinking about Ephesians 2:10, where it said we are his workmanship, created unto Christ, you know, created unto Christ, unto good works. Y'all know that passage? In other words, when you get saved, let me go here because y'all still kind of, some of y'all know the passage, but some of you may not. So let me read it. For we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, he's saying that God gave us potential. When we got saved as his workmanship, as his masterpieces, when we got saved in Christ Jesus unto good works, the potential that he placed in us, we are to now walk in the good works. So that potential now is to come out of us. So when you start talking about superior salvation, the superior salvation, it helps you to fulfill your potential. What is your potential? Who can tell you your potential? Maybe Yahweh can when you're walking with him along on the journey while he's courting you and you courting him. Maybe he's going to pour into you and shoot his word into you while you're walking, while he's leading you. Everybody has potential. When you were birthed into this world and you beat those however many millions of sperm that, and you came out, you have potential. With no accident. I don't care what your mama and daddy say. No, I'm kidding. When you began to breathe, God had already placed potential in you. Because David says, while I was in my mother's womb, you skillfully wrought me. You carefully put me together because of the plan you had for me. You put a potential in me in order to fulfill the plan you had for me. The potential you have, y'all, is not for you, but it's for you to fulfill his plan. Let me finish up. And so we must allow him to be our superior salvation, but then we must also, lastly, allow him to be our solid support. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, honestly, y'all, I don't have to say nothing else after that. He says, wait. But I'm going to say a couple of things, not much. Because he says, wait. Y'all know, you heard us talk about that word wait forever, right? You know what that word wait means, right? Okay, well, just in case you don't know, that word wait means to bind together. Okay? To be gathered together. It means to be, I'm trying to read my writing, it means to be joined together. So it gives you the picture of something being joined together with something. And then the other part of it means by twisting. And so he says, wait on the Lord. Wait. I said, now that's an emphatic statement, y'all. So he says, wait. So that term wait, to be bound together, to be twisted together. Y'all know we talked about that, meaning it means that, you know, the old folks called it plait, like you give the whole, when you plait your hair, you know, when you braid your hair. You know, my grandbaby, she was getting her hair braided the other day. And after she got done, had they put it all together. And so so your hair look good. So she went like this. She went, whoop, whoop. You know, she kind of, you know, ducking camera and her hair flipped over and flipped back. But guess what? It was still in place because it was braided. He says, braid yourself to the Lord. Then he says, once again, you heard him. He says, braid yourself, I say, to the Lord. He says, attach yourself to the Lord. Braid yourself to the Lord. Because when hell comes after you, when the storms of life get into your life, when rain drenches you, when the wind blows you from place to place, he says, when all of that happens, if you are attached, If you are braided, if you are planted to the Lord, he says, you're not going to go nowhere because he ain't going nowhere. He says, all the stuff outside of you can go on all around you. But at the end of the day, he says, if you are planted, if you are braided, if you are brought together and bound together with the Lord. Yeah. Now, I'm going to finish up right here because he says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Now, y'all got to see this. Now, remember I told you what weight means to bind together, right? But look what he says, be of good courage. And so I had to take a look at that term, good courage. And I really couldn't find a whole lot in Hebrew, so I went to the Septuagint. And I put the Septuagint in Hebrew. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I see it right here. And then I went back to the Hebrew and I looked at how many times they use this word. And the many times they use the word good courage, you know what that simply means, y'all? You know what that means? Good courage. It means to hold fast. Y'all missed that right there. It means to take hold of and hold fast. Okay. So he says, braid yourself to the Lord, hold fast while you are braided. Hold fast while you are braided to the Lord. But then he said, and he shall strengthen your heart. Now, you know that word strengthen, it means he shall fortify. He shall establish. But most of all, it means he shall cause your heart to prevail. Oh, man. Y'all missing this thing. You're missing this thing. So he says, when you braid yourself to the Lord and you hold fast to the Lord, what's going to happen is while you're holding fast, he's going to fortify, he's going to hold you fast, and he's going to cause your heart to prevail over the situation. If you hold fast to him, he's going to cause you to prevail over whatever it is you are going through. If you hold fast, he's going to cause you to walk high. As a matter of fact, as you're holding fast, he says earlier, I'm going to lift your head as you hold fast, as you are braided to me. He said, if you hold fast, whatever you go through, I got you. If you hold fast and you go through the waters, they shall not overflow you. If you go through the rain, it shall not hurt you. If you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. You shall not even smell like smoke. If you hold fast to the Lord on this day. Because he is your solid support. He is your solid support. Got to hold fast. But what I like about it is because if you are braided to him, even if you let go, he still got you. I'm done. I'm done. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He shall cause your heart to prevail. He shall.